Are you ready? A dangerous question to ask at this time of year, I know. But are you ready? Are you ready? The automatic assumption with a question like this at this time of year is it's about Christmas. And to a certain degree, that's right. And we're thinking of all the things we need to do to get ready for Christmas. So, cards, social media greetings, presents for various people, decorating your home, the different family traditions you might have, or, you know, going to a special service, or going to a particular location, or doing some fun activity with a family. Whatever your unique family traditions are. Work Christmas parties to enjoy or endure, depending on your take on them. Christmas jumper day, whether you love them or loathe them. There's baking, there's making. The list is almost endless. Are we ready? As we look back at the events of that first Christmas, when the Christ of Christmas came into being. What do you think? Were they ready? Were they ready for the Christ of Christmas? And as we look at this passage, let's try and see what we can learn from it, how it might instruct us. But hopefully, it won't just be for Christmas, but in so in the year to come. So, are we ready? And were they ready? Coming, ready or not. Verse 8 to 10 go as follows. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." We were looking at this passage at our prayer meeting on Wednesday, and one of the folk that were there described it as the shepherds were doing their night shift. A very ordinary, everyday, workaday activity. The shepherds doing their night shift. There was probably nothing outstanding about that night prior to those events. You know, it probably was a very ordinary week. You know, they were sitting around out in the fields, talking shepherd stuff, whatever shepherds talk about when they're out looking after their flock. There was probably nothing out of the ordinary during that time, in that build-up. And then on a very ordinary night, in a probably very ordinary location, the natural and the ordinary turned into something supernatural. The angels didn't warn them about their coming. So often in today's news and media, when there's going to be a big announcement, the news broadcaster on the night before will say, "Tomorrow the Prime Minister or the department or the minister of this and that is going to make an announcement about this." Or in tomorrow's budget, we suspect the Chancellor will make these announcements. There'll be this cut and this increase. And it'll all happen tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Where's the sense of surprise? Where's the sense of not knowing? Now, I know it's all part of the media strategy and the role of the politician to leak out information at strategic times, so particularly when it's bad news, so that when they actually make the announcement, it's not that bad. You think, "Oh, well, I heard that yesterday." It doesn't feel quite so bad today when they've made the announcement. But no, this was not like this at all. Ordinary, 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 ordinary. Bam! An angelic appearance. Ready or not, we are here. And we're here to announce this most incredible event. And surprise, surprise, the shepherds were frightened. Now, what could it have been that frightened them the most? Could it have been they were gazing up at the stars and, you know, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so, that's normal. Yeah, that one, oh, I'm not sure that one's twinkling a bit. Could that be a bit different? And then there's a sudden blinding light all across the sky. Maybe that frightened them. They were in normal levels of darkness, and then there was brilliant light. Possibly it was the look and the appearance of the angels themselves. We have no record of what the angels' appearance was like. Maybe simply seeing an angel in their fullness, in their awesomeness, is frightening. And you think, oh dear, what's going to happen now? Maybe it wasn't their appearance or the sudden brightness, but the glory of the Lord that was radiating around this angelic presence. Maybe deep in their memory banks, as they'd heard the Torah read week after week in their weekly meetings, there's memory reminders of Moses meeting God on Mount Sinai as he receives the Ten Commandments and the fire and the billow of smoke and all that surround that moment and the instructions, don't come up this mountain because if you touch it, you will die. And maybe they're thinking, oh no, we've seen an angel of the Lord and there's glory all around, we're going to die. Maybe that's what terrified them. Or maybe it's their view of themselves. We're shepherds. Nothing ever significant happens to shepherds. If something's going to happen to shepherds, it must be bad. Angels have turned up. Oh dear, we're really in for it now. This has to be absolutely terrifying. The angels appeared. Ready or not, we are here and we've come to announce something. And for me, that raises a few questions. Raises a few questions for us to consider. What are our expectations of God and what he might do in and through our lives? Do we simply think, well, this Christmas is going to be an ordinary Christmas? We're going to do the normal things. We're going to have the normal preparations. You know, we'll probably watch the familiar programs. And we'll have some good fun. We'll share some good presents. But nothing beyond that will happen. Maybe God has a surprise for each one of us this Christmas. Maybe he wants to do something a bit different this year to the previous years. Maybe there's something you've yet to discover, yet to realize, a person you've yet to encounter that will make this Christmas different to previous Christmases. Lord, that there will be something of the announcement of Jesus coming to the world that will make this Christmas different. Also, it asks us the question, are we ready? Are we ready? The angels came, ready or not. They came, they made the announcements. The shepherds were just doing their ordinary stuff. Were they ready for it? Are you ready for it? Am I ready for it? Is this church ready for whatever God wants to do in the months that lie ahead? He simply made his announcement in his way, in his style. Whether they were ready for it or not. But because of this moment, this incredible announcement of the birth of Jesus, the shepherds, those ordinary shepherds, minding our own business on a random night shift, thinking everything was normal, have now got a place in the most historic event ever. We don't know their names, but they have a place in the most historic event ever. What is it the Lord wants to do through us this year? Coming, ready or not. Are you willing? Are you willing? Verses 15 and 16 of the passage. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Now, me being a minister, I've read this passage a number of times in the past, particularly over the last 5 years since I've been ministering here. And I've, you know, you try and notice different things. But this time in my preparation, I noticed something that I hadn't noticed before, which is always quite exciting for me. But I don't know that you might have noticed it already. But the angels didn't give the shepherds any instructions. Now, think about it. The angels appear, make this grand appearance, this shocking experience, this glorious moment. They announce the birth of the Messiah. Christ has come. And then they disappear and don't tell you anything. They just leave you. They're shocked, they're stunned, they're, I don't know, maybe bewildered. But the angels have done their job. They've gone back. You know, they're probably singing all the way back to heaven, or they've just kind of closed the veil over themselves so the shepherds can't see them anymore. They're probably still praising God and singing his praises that this incredible event has happened. But they haven't given the shepherds any instructions. If it was you or me, surely you would have given them a clue. It's like, shepherds, we know you're still in shock. But this is a good response. Or here's a clue. So after the angels have gone, after the multitude of angelic beings have disappeared, after they've recovered from this encounter and this moment, they've got a decision to make. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? This thing has happened. What is their response? What is their response? They could have just sat there by themselves having a good conversation about their experience. It's like, oh, wow, that That angel over there in the top right-hand corner, that was really, he was really sparkly and glowy. Oh, no, I really like the one in the middle, with the extra halo around him, the one that did all the talking. He was awesome. Oh, no, I like the one on the right-hand side. And so it could have continued for many hours. They're shepherds. They're ordinary people. This kind of thing doesn't happen to them. So they could have sat there and talked about it until the morning and possibly for many weeks to come, but kept it to themselves. They could have sat and talked to one another and talked themselves out of it and said, oh no, we're shepherds. This kind of thing can't happen to us. We must have been hallucinating this or imagining this, Did you really see it? Oh, I don't know. Now that you mention it like that, I'm not quite sure. I know if I tell my friend or my wife or, my mate round the corner, he's going to tell me I didn't see an angel. No, you definitely didn't. They could have talked themselves out of it and ended up rejecting this amazing encounter with the angels of heaven. But what they did was they accepted it as real, as genuine, and then they took action. They said, we're going to see this for ourselves. They're going to inquire further. They're going to investigate further. They're going to find out for themselves. So they went to find this baby and his parents. And they found this child in exactly the location, exactly the right condition, as the angels had announced. They went and investigated. They pursued further. What about us? As we look back to this original event, as we look forward to our coming Christmas celebrations, whether we're ready or not, are we willing? Are we willing to go and discover for ourselves? Are we willing to go and investigate further? Are we willing to put aside our daily routine activity to discover what God is doing? Because they could have stayed exactly where they were, but they decided not to. They went and they discovered for themselves. They said, we want to play a part in discovering this thing that the angels have announced. We want to see for ourselves what God is really up to. We want to see this Messiah. We just don't want to hear about him. We don't simply want to have this incredible experience, but we want to engage, we want to follow. We want our lives to be part of this story. Are we people who will set aside normal activity to follow the plans and purposes of God? Are we willing? The shepherds were. Can we be like the shepherds were and be willing to work out what it means in our situations, in our day-to-day life, our activity, put certain things aside so that we can discover all that God has for us and that we can fully participate in all that God is doing? Sharing. Verses 17 to 20. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had told. I'll start again. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I don't know when the last time you were introduced to a new baby was, but there's certain things that you kind of do. You know, when you go, you want to see the child. You want to try and discover how much they weighed. You know, if you don't know what sex the child is, then maybe you'd ask, what's the name of the child? Is the baby doing well? Is the mother doing well? You know, was it a natural birth or was it complicated? You know, you can add or detract from this small list, but I'm sure you can think back to the last time you had that experience and you go, oh, yes, so-and-so, aren't they cute? You know, how are they doing? It's almost on autopilot. You ask all the questions you want to know the answers to. And for some of us, it might not be that you want to know all of the questions, but you know that when you go home, that your family is going to ask you the other questions that you wouldn't naturally think to ask. But you know that they're going to ask you, so you find out the answers, so that when you go back home, you can say, well, you know, they were born this time, they weighed this amount, this is what they're called. Whether you have to write them down on a bit of paper or put a message in your phone these days, however it is you capture the content of the information. It's all about the child. It's about the family. Are they doing well and right? But as we look at this passage and what the shepherds share, it's not this. It's not this stuff. Now, these are ordinary people. They're shepherds. They've got, they're on the night shift. They've got family. They've got friends. I'm sure those family and friends would be asking those kinds of questions. And maybe they have discovered those issues and know those answers. But that's not what they share. After they've seen the baby, after they've had this encounter completed, the shepherds return. They're glorifying and they're praising God about all the things that they've heard and they've seen. And they were all just as they've been told. The message that they were spreading was the message of the angel visit. The message of the angelic visit. Then in verse 11 it says, today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. I just want to pick out three words. Saviour. This is the one that saves. This is the one that protects. This is the one that provides. And this is not a word that's used in isolation just for Jesus. There's already in the background, this is a title that's associated with the current Caesar. So when the angels make their announcement, it's not just that he's the one that saves, but it's a denial of Caesar's role as the saviour. The worldly powers cannot save you, but this baby will. He is Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the one that's been promised by God. He's finally arrived. You need to realize that he's here and start to respond appropriately. That he's Lord, another title that's been associated with Caesar. A sense of giving divine status to the emperor. No longer do we acknowledge Caesar and his pretend title. We acknowledge this child that is born as Lord. And in our contemporary culture, in our society at the moment, we are facing an election. And it's at times like this that titles like Saviour and Lord are important and significant. Yes, it's important to engage in the electoral process. You know, go do it. But it's also important to realise that whoever the Prime Minister is at the end of this year, they're not Saviour and they are not Lord. That is Jesus. And whoever it is, that their position is underneath Jesus. Jesus is the one that can truly save. He is the one that truly is divine. He is the one that has the power and authority. Not whoever lives in number 10. That you could say that the shepherds were sharing the primary message rather than the secondary message about who the child is and, you know, what he weighed and, you know, was the baby well? So for us to consider, are we sharing? Are we sharing or not? And if we are sharing, then what are we sharing? Are we sharing the primary message or are we sharing the secondary message? The challenge of the shepherds is that we should be sharing the primary message, particularly at this time as we approach the celebration of Christmas. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born. And he is Christ the Lord. It's happened. Ready or not. Ready or not. And the shepherds went rejoicing and praising God. And the people responded with amazement. The people that the shepherds told were simply amazed. They were amazed. Now, I'm not surprised. You know, if someone I knew came up to me or, you know, who would say a car mechanic and said, look, I've just had an angelic encounter, you know, and there was a host of angels around and it'd be like, wow, this is amazing. This doesn't happen every day. But more than that, that means that our role, our response is simply to share the primary message and allow people to be amazed. Sometimes we're put off and we're dissuaded and we're held back because of other people's reactions. They will be amazed. Some will be shocked. Some will disagree. Some will not believe you. Our response, our responsibility is not to be put off by other people's amazement. Ours is to share and to share the primary message. Because in sharing the primary message, we remain focused on what God has done and what God is doing. That's our responsibility. As someone said to me many times in a different season of my life, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. Our focus needs to be on God. Our focus needs to be on what he's done, what he's doing. Our focus needs to be on sharing the primary message rather than on secondary issues. Allow the people around us to be amazed. It's a right response. And hopefully after they get through their amazement, they might respond like the shepherds did. Get up and investigate further. So, to conclude, are we ready? Ready or not, it's God's timing. He announced the birth of his son when the shepherds probably weren't ready. But they were willing. They made the adjustments. They were willing to put down certain things in their life so that they could respond to what God was doing and line themselves up with his agenda at his time. Are we willing? And finally, are we sharing? Are we being focused on what God is doing for ourselves, for this church, allowing other people to be amazed as we keep the main thing, stick with the primary message, not be sidetracked, and allow God to be glorified in the process. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage and how it can instruct and lead us and guide us. And Father, I pray that you've communicated with your folk here this today, that you've stirred us up, you've instructed us, you've guided us, you've challenged us to stay focused on you, to keep sharing the primary message, and allow those around us to be amazed. We commit ourselves to you afresh. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing our final song, and the song is Angels from the Realm of Glory. Please stand as we sing, if you're able.
Oh,
If the Lord has spoken to you this morning, then I encourage you to respond to him before you leave this place. If you need someone to pray with you, I'll happily do that. Or if another Christian that you're comfortable and confident with, then simply ask them to pray and commit this time and this issue to the Lord. Because it's about doing business with him than whatever someone else might be thinking. But simply to announce once again those well-known words from verse 11. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Go and share his message and allow the people around us to be amazed. In Jesus' name, amen.